Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello. Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Deb Wolf. And we're talking to Debbie Jacobs today because she's an expert on fearful dogs. Dogs with nervous tendencies. Maybe they've got separation anxiety, or they're afraid of thunder, or maybe it's even more pervasive than that, because most of our dogs become afraid of thunder and fireworks as they age. But what can you do about that, and how can you train them? Well, if you think you've got a fearful dog, or you've just got a young dog and you know someday your dog's going to get old and start being worried about thunder, what can you do? What do you do if all of a sudden your dog's afraid of something? How do you make your dog cope with reality? So we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about why she says, and this is a little bit controversial, and I love it because I totally, wholeheartedly agree. She says alpha roles are best left to bakers. Ooh, take that, former guest of mine who tried to argue that tough is best and no dog should ever sleep in the bed and no dog should ever be kissed on the face. And yeah, take that. We're going to be talking about that, why alpha roles are history. Yes, archaic and unnecessary and not as effective as people think. So we'll be talking about that too. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you. I love where you're coming from on this. So let's go for that first. Why should people not flip their dog over and growl in its face and make it know that they're the leader? Why not?
Well, in a nutshell, it's stupid. It's rude. And whatever purpose we think it's addressing, it isn't. It is not anything that is done in the canine community. The reason that people started doing it is because of wolf studies that were later disputed, actually, by the person who did the wolf study, came out and said, I made a mistake. What I was reading, I interpreted incorrectly. That was David Metch, and people can go back and look at those studies that he did in the 60s, and then subsequently came out and said, oops, I was wrong. What happens is that we look at dogs rolling over, and we assume that that some dog rolled the other dog over to show that they were boss, when in fact what is most often happening is that the dog who's doing the rolling over is saying, Uncle, I don't want to fight. I don't want to have a conflict with you. You see, dogs, people think that dogs are all about confrontation. They're not. They're all about cooperation.
They're master communicators, aren't they?
Exactly.
I mean, they're really good at getting along.
Exactly. That is why so many of them are sleeping in beds, is because they are so darn good at cooperating.
They manipulate their way in there, don't they?
Well, I mean, we can say that. That kind of makes them sound like they're these little, you know, power controllers figuring out how to get what they want. But, hey, that's what life is all about. We're all about figuring out how to get what we want and how to make things work for us. We're no different. Dogs aren't any different. Cats aren't any different. Lions aren't any different. Everybody does what works.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why if you reward your dog for doing something rude, you're going to see it again. If jumping up on you gets a lot of attention and behaving gets nothing, you're going to have a dog who jumps. I mean, it's simple. Same with kids. And I think of this rollover thing. I mean, imagine if your kid was bullying or pounding another kid. So you went over and punched him in the face. I mean, that's what this is like. Like, what if you're trying to teach your dog not to growl or be aggressive, why would you choose this? It just makes no sense to me. You know, I've had battles about this for years. When I first published my book, I think it was 1996 or 7, the publisher insisted on that section. And I made them qualify it only in these circumstances and never with these. But they wouldn't let me publish a book on dog training without it. It's so firmly in people's minds that it needs to be there.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's changing. We can see that. So that's really that's a good thing. It's a good thing. And the other thing that's happening is that we've misinterpreted dogs. I mean, we've sort of projected all kinds of rubbish on them, you know, that they're growling at us because they're angry or aggressive or whatever, when most of the aggressive behavior that trainers are seeing, and you know this, is it's fear-based. And to respond...
Well, there's an interesting thing. Okay, so often I get a dog who's nipped the nanny or bitten the gardener or worse, bitten a kid or a kid's clothes or something like this, and the people really want me to make this sort of designation. Is it aggressive or is it fearful? And they're really hoping I'm going to say fearful. And I'm not so sure that, I mean, it seems to me that it's always a little of both, isn't it?
Well, a lot depends. I mean, there are some people who would categorize any kind of aggression as fear-based because it's having to do with a protecting something, whether you're protecting your body or you're protecting your stuff or you're protecting your space because you're afraid somebody else is going to get it. And so we can look at resource guarding and say that it's based in the fear that somebody's going to take their resources, that if somebody gets close to their territory, that it's the fear of somebody coming into their territory. Oh, the semantics, we could go on and on about it. But I think that I could label it either fear or inexperience or a dog who's unskilled. A dog who doesn't know what to do when somebody comes into their house and is anxious about that, aggression is right up there. Both fear and aggression occur in the amygdala in the brain, which means that it's very easy, very fast for the brain to go from fear to aggression. Hey, if something bad is happening and you've tried everything else, you've tried to avoid it, you've frozen up, you've given all kinds of warning signals, you've growled, you've snarled, you've given that hairy eyeball to who's ever coming near you, and it hasn't worked, guess what? Very easy. Let's try aggression. It might work. It might save your life. If you're an animal and you've tried everything else, you've rolled over, you've played dead, and you're still being attacked, which is what that alpha role can feel like to a lot of dogs, then maybe what you need to do is fight back because it may save your life. I mean, that makes perfect sense for people. It also makes sense to dogs. The incredible thing about this, Deborah, that gets me is how little damage is often done when a dog does choose to bite. And that's what we need to look at, is how much when we realize how much damage a dog can actually do.
Their capability. I mean, really, they can kill a small child easily. They can hurt most of us. I mean, even strategic bite to the inside of your thigh or something like that could kill you. And they are capable. I know a Sheltie who defended her owner, who's a very, very aged woman, who had the dog guard dog trained because she lived in a very dangerous neighborhood. And this dog defended the owner. It backed up the stairs and launched itself at the burglar and attacked it in the throat. This is a dog no taller than your knee. It's meant to hurt little animals, you know? But it did the job when it had to. And I bet you it was scared and aggressive at the same time. So even with myself, I'm not sure I've ever had 100% aggression without any fear there, you know? They're sort of together, aren't they? And then you're shaking afterward. And I see that with dogs. The adrenaline is coursing through them. And that's why I don't really understand these pain callers. You know, when your dog's nervous or aggressive, why would you want to give his body a shot of adrenaline at that moment when you're trying to calm him down? Do you agree with me on that?
Well, people, the thing is that here's the thing, and you know this too. When we are faced with aggression in a dog, it scares us and it makes us angry. I mean, it does me. I can look at a dog and say, wow, that dog is afraid. But if they launch at me or they growl at me or they do something that scares me, I also feel aggressive. In return, I can't help it. I don't need to respond that way, and I don't, but I can feel it happening because I've got this big extra special brain that humans are so proud of, right? Yeah. We can think about how we feel. Dogs don't. They just experience it, and then they will react to it. But I can think about it, and so I can think, if that dog is aggressive and behaving in an aggressive way, most pet owners just want it to stop. That's all. They just want it to stop. And so trainers because we're a fast food society and we want it now and we want it fast, sure, I can stop a dog's behavior by scaring them or hurting them.
Okay, we have to go to break. We'll be back in a minute and we'll be talking more with Debbie Jacobs, more about fearful dogs and what you can do. Stay tuned to All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
This is Hanai of PeacefulPetMusic.com. Do you have a hyperactive or destructive pet? Now you can help reduce anxious behaviors by giving your pet relaxing Peaceful Pet Music CDs. Each CD uses acoustic vibrational therapy to help calm and soothe your pet, reducing stress and separation anxiety. And the beautiful music is made for the sensitive ears of your pet. Go to PeacefulPetMusic.com and use the code ALLPAWSRADIO for a 20% discount. That's PeacefulPetMusic.com.
Hello, you're back with All Paws Pet Talk Radio and me, Deb Wolf, your host, and I'm an author and dog trainer, but today on my show is Debbie Jacobs. She's the author of A Guide to Living With and Training a Fearful Dog. And we were just talking, I was supposed to talk about separation anxiety and fear of thunder, but we've gotten into so much of the dog psychology and the dog mind, it's really fascinating. So we're going to go a little more with this. And we were just talking about how it is possible to train your dog by scaring it or hurting it. Just like a prisoner. If you're a prisoner of war or something and they beat you up every time you try to speak your own language, you're going to stop speaking that language. Of course they can. You can do it. But I don't think we want to. Just because there's many ways to train a dog or teach a child, it doesn't mean the harshest is the best, right? So what do you think? Can we keep going with your thought there, Debbie? You were saying it's possible to use
pain. Sure, yeah, and I agree with you. Most people don't want to do that to their dogs. They don't want to hurt their dogs. They don't want to scare their dogs. And we don't need to. And it doesn't necessarily take any longer when we realize that when we reward them for doing what we like, that we're more likely to see a long-term change in behavior rather than constantly needing to pull out that electric collar or constantly needing to yell or constantly needing to do those collar jerks on them to punish them to stop behavior. Stopping behavior is easy. What we want to do is change behavior because in the long run, we don't want to have to deal with it, right? I don't want to have to be in control all the time. I want my dog to control their behavior, and they can. They're so incredible. They're so smart and sensitive and sophisticated that if we work with them rather than just try to control them, that they can just take that information and they can take it and they can fly with it. And that's the kind of behavior that people love to see. Those are the dogs that people look at and go, wow, how did you get your dog to do that? And it's usually because, wasn't it just on America's Got Talent? We had the young woman who trained Pudsey to do Britain's Got Talent. Oh, we look at that dog and we go, oh, isn't that dog incredible? That's a dog. Most of us have a dog in our house, and most of them could learn to do incredible things if we only took the time to train them.
Well, you know what? I think most dogs are basically come sit, stay, heal is so basic. I mean, they're just sitting there bored out of their minds, and cats are even more bored. Cats are sitting there going, you don't do anything with me. What is wrong with you people? Why even have me? You're not communicating. You don't even tell me. You don't even teach me my name or give me come or sit or paw or any of the things you teach the damn dog, and I'm just as smart as he is. You know, and the dog is sitting there saying, why can't they teach me to get their groceries, the remote? Why can't I put away the shoes? Why? Why? You know?
Right.
And then there's just nothing going on. Why can't I put away the toys, my own toys even, you know?
Right.
Dog's ready to do all that. He's bored. But
exactly.
I think people miss these opportunities. And so they should go on your website because you can give them ideas about how to do that, can't you? How do they go to a website?
My website is primarily devoted to it's fearfuldogs.com, and it's primarily devoted to helping people get their head around fear-based behavior challenges and how to address fear-based behaviors. So that's primarily what the website is about, and my blog as well, although any of the things that we do with dogs who are fearful, we can also use with dogs who aren't fearful, because it's all about reward-based training and working with dogs and tapping into just what you're saying. Learning is rewarding. Animals love
to learn make it
stuff.
Fun. It's fun because they don't, you know, I see this a lot where someone gets a toy and then they hand it to their dog and then they leave the room. Like, what good is that? The dog wants to play with you. That's mm-hmm. why tricks are so interesting. If you're watching a movie for an hour and a half and you're sitting there on the couch eating or whatever, you know, why not stop on the commercials or make a commercial if it's a DVD? Stop for a break and just make your dog do something, anything. It doesn't matter what. You know, by the end of the show, he's got a new trick that he can show off. It's so simple. Get the kids to do it. One trick a week. Make everybody in charge. Now, I realize if you've got a pug or a bulldog, okay, it might be one trick a month. And if you've got a border collie, it might be one trick a day. It doesn't really matter. Teach your dog, you know, according to his appetite for this stuff. You might be surprised what he'll do. Jump through hoops, maybe. Go under stuff. Find stuff you hide. Find people who are hiding. I mean, hide and seek with your dog. That's pretty cool. If you want to get tips like that, you can go to my free videos, clips on YouTube. Just look up Deborah Wolf, and they're all there. There's 10 of them there, maybe more by now. And you'll see all kinds of stuff, ways to play with your dog, including Dogs Gone Wild, which is really popular, the blooper reel. It's up there, too. So, okay, so I want to go back to why you think being leader of the pack is kind of overrated. But before we get to that, because it's a big one, can you tell people who are hanging in there listening, what are your suggestions, maybe a summary a little bit, for separation anxiety, dogs who are so afraid to be alone?
Yeah, it's probably one of the more challenging behaviors. Basically, when we have a dog who's afraid to be alone, what we need to do is build the be alone skill. And it really, as with any kind of anxiety or skill that we're building, we have to do it slowly. And that's the challenge with separation anxiety, is that we have to counter condition and desensitize a dog to being alone while we build the I'm okay feeling. And that can be, and that takes time. I would say that, you know, just to throw some ideas out there, food dispensing toys, things that help take a dog's mind off of, rather than feeding a dog out of a bowl, put it all in a Kong or another food dispenser, stick it in the freezer, and then when you leave the house, you give the dog something, you know, to do. But for some dogs, and that's only helpful for dogs who have mild separation anxiety, for severe separation anxiety, I would say you should contact a trainer who understands the protocol and how to do this. Talk to a vet about possibly a medication protocol that can be used in conjunction with it. Because the problem with separation anxiety, it's like teaching somebody how to swim. We can gradually introduce them to being home alone, but we can't every once in a while throw them in the deep end, watch them struggle, almost drown, and then pull them out and put them back into the wading pool and say, okay, now we're going to work on feeling comfortable in the water again. Every time we chuck them into the deep end and they panic and they have a bad experience and they chew up the carpet and they scratch the screen, we're not really helping them. We have to go back and give them this skill and build it gradually. So for some dogs, and you know this, Deborah, for some dogs, it's I can be alone for 10 seconds. Can that dog be in a room by themselves while their owner is in another room? can the owner step away? So sometimes giving dogs that skill, teaching a stay, teaching a wait, and then gradually building it so that the dog can be alone even with the owner in the house is a big step. For some people, it may mean starting off using pet walkers or daycare, pet sitters, maybe a friend who's willing to take the dog.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's baby steps. So it might be my dog can handle it when I leave in through the back door, go around the house and come in the front. Okay, that's day one. And I do that 3 or 4 times. Now the next day he can handle it when I do that, go out the back gate, pause 10 seconds at the garbage, go back through and come back again. Okay, that's day two. Do that a whole bunch. Day three, I might go as far as the neighbor. And it's just build and build and build. Now, everybody listening who's got a new puppy or new dog in their life, go out now. Start as you mean to go on. Do not make the mistake of thinking, ooh, I have my new puppy. I'll take time off work and I'll spend every single second with him for the whole month that I'm home. Yeah, okay, that's setting him up to not be safe and not feel good in your home without you. So right away, day one, go out. Make yourself go to the bank machine, go up for ice cream. I don't care what you do. Go out. Leave that dog alone so he knows he's fine. And then over time, he'll get used to it more and more and more, and he won't have this problem. So, okay, so we did separation anxiety. Let's do thunder. Now, I find there's some weird things about thunder, like not, almost no puppies experience fear of thunder in almost every situation. Oh, okay. Well, we'll be back to talk about thunder on All Paws Pet Talk Radio and why you don't want to be leader of your pack. Stay tuned.
Disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Back with All Paws Pet Talk Radio and your host, Deb Wolf. And today we have with us Debbie Jacobs, author of A Guide to Living With and Training a Fearful Dog. Now, this is no joke. I mean, you may have a really calm dog, really easygoing dog, bomb-proof dog, la, 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 la. And then one day your dog becomes 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, and every time there's a thunderstorm, your dog is running to the bathroom. Your dog is pawing at the doors. Your dog is running around the house. If he's outside, he's beside himself digging holes. You don't know what to do to calm him down. Okay, so what can we do, Debbie?
Well, first of all, do whatever you need to do to calm the dog now. What are those things? For some dogs, it might just be sitting next to you while you pet them. Comfort them. Make them feel safe. Do whatever you need to do in that regard. Don't worry about reinforcing their fear. We do not reinforce fear in dogs by doing anything that makes them feel safe and comfortable. The other things that we can do is we can change the association that they have with the thunder. Every time the thunder crashes, a piece of cheese falls from the sky. Now, if the dog isn't too terribly terrified, they'll
That's
go and
funny.
They'll grab the cheese. And every time there's a thunder crash or the firework goes off, the cheese starts falling from the sky. Now you have a dog who is predicting cheese whenever they hear thunder. That's beautiful when that happens. You can create.
But that would be rare, wouldn't it? I mean, most
well,
of them seem so
it depends
so
on the dog.
They
it really
eat.
It depends on the dog. I have one who that's all, she will quite happily run around the room chasing food when the thunder's going off. For other dogs, what we need to do is create safe spaces for them and teach them to go there. That way they can comfort themselves and soothe themselves when they're alone, and that can be a space within a space. It could be a crate that we put in the bathroom and we cover it up, and that's where they go, and they get their frozen Kongs, they get their marrow bones, they get their chews. The whole
Hang on. When you say bathroom, I want to go into this a little bit, because for some reason dogs want to be in the bathroom, something to do with the grounding and the tub, right? I mean,
I honestly don't know. I don't know why they choose to go to bathrooms. I've heard that, and I've heard some dogs get in the tub. I don't know exactly why they do it. But what we do know is that some dogs, if they don't hear the thunder, they're not scared by it. Which happens with, I was talking to someone today, their dog became deaf and now they no longer have the thunder problem.
I have a deaf dog, Angus, a Springer Spaniel, went deaf young from gunshots because he was a hunting dog, and he was terrified of thunder, couldn't hear a thing though.
Yeah, I don't have a clue, maybe somebody knows what they experience as far as what they can sense. In the atmosphere, all of those things that can be affecting them. So if we can create a space for them where they feel safe and comfortable, do it. And give them something good to eat while they're there. The other things that are helpful, some people find body wraps. There's the thunder shirt, which is a snug-fitting jacket that can be put on the dog. If it works, try it. I've got links on my website to storm and sound phobias. They found that studies have shown that melatonin is helpful for dogs with sound phobias. Some melatonin in conjunction with a thunder shirt. Bingo, he goes right to sleep. That's all he needs. He's not pacing. He's not panting. Every dog is different. If a dog suffers from severe storm or sound phobias, talk to a vet. Go to your vet. Ask them about an anti-anxiety medication. I know people don't like to medicate their dogs. Nobody likes to medicate their dogs. But if I had a dog who was diabetic, I would give them insulin. If I had a dog with an infection, I'd give them an antibiotic. If I had a dog who routinely suffered through storms season or fireworks season, we know that these phobias get worse. They rarely get better when they're left untreated. Dogs become sensitized to it. They don't learn that it's okay. They just get worse. And that one of the things that we can do to them is talk to a veterinarian about getting something that can help lower their anxiety. It's key. It's cruel not to, in my opinion.
Okay, so before we run out of time, because we have with each segment, because I find you so interesting, I'm so happy to have you on the show, Debbie.
Thank you.
What is this bit you're saying? I don't want to be leader of my pack? Really?
Well,
I don't want to be leader of the pack?
Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with being leader. It's just the way it's defined. It's one of those terms that because it can mean something different to everyone who uses it, that if I say I am my dog's leader, it means one thing to me. But somebody else can say I am my dog's leader, and they're more like a dictator. You know, I like to think of myself as my dog's camp counselor. You know, I'm responsible for them.
Yeah,
I have to make sure that they stay safe. I have to make sure that they learn skills so that they can be safe in the world. I have to make sure that they have enough food, that they're physically, all their physical needs are taken care of, and that they learn how to be polite and how to function within whatever situation they're going to be in. And so that's my role. And if that's how I define or you define being a leader, okay. But I just don't like it when we use it because it can mean so many different things. And the other thing is that dogs actually don't form packs the same way wolves do. So we use it in a way that's inappropriate because dogs really don't have pack leaders.
Do you think that even in a case like with a breeder or a place like mine where I have five dogs on a 5-acre farm, don't you think they're a pack? Because they sure, for example, solo, none of them will ever harass my cats. But together, God help the cat.
Yes.
You know?
I'm not saying that they don't form social that they don't have social networks. I'm not saying that they don't form social hierarchies. They do. They form communities. They are social animals. They want to be together. But the term pack leader, again, has its roots in wolf pack behavior. And dogs do not pack up. Dogs do not form packs the same way wolves do. Wolf packs, we know now, are family units. The leader of a wolf pack are typically the parents mm-hmm. of the pack. And that's not the case with most of our family packs of dogs, as we to use the word pack there. So again, that's just it's just how when we use words, how does it affect how we think about the dog? And that's why I have trouble with it. Not because there's anything wrong.
It would be interesting to do this study in a breeder home where they are the parents. You know, where that's like the sire who's been used the most and then his offspring that are meant to be bred later. And, like that would be very interesting to see if they behave more like a pack. Because I think they do.
It would be, but then we also add in the fact that these are domesticated animals and they mm-hmm. have been domesticated and so they have been bred to interact with humans in a different way than wolves have. So again, I'm not saying that they don't form these social hierarchies or form these communities or have you have different temperaments among dogs where you have some who are the, this is mine, and it's always going to be mine. And some mm-hmm. people can look at that and say, oh, this is the pack leader because, you know, he gets to sit on the couch when he wants it or he gets the food. But what we know with our dogs is that that's often very free-flowing, where you'll have one dog who says, this is mine, but yet the bed doesn't care about the bed.
You get that. You get, like, the golden retriever who says, every morsel of food that drops is mine. The rest you can fight over amongst yourselves. I couldn't care less, you know. And then you get the standard poodle who couldn't care less about food. All he wants is the place by the door or the place by the bed or whatever his – yeah, so they kind of work it out just like people, just like kids in a big family, really. Okay, so we were talking a little bit about Thunder, and we have – oh, we only have 1 minute left. All right. That's a shame. I'm going to have you back again. If people want to know more, if you've got dogs who are scared of anything, A Guide to Living With and Training a Fearful Dog. Thanks so much, Debbie.
Thanks for having me. Hope to talk to you again.
Yes, thank you so much. All right, everybody, be good to your animals and be kind to your fearful dogs. That was Debbie Jacobs on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf. This is All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and you heard the howl, so it must be Deb Wolf, your host. Today we have with us Diane Jan Lorenzo, and she is here to read our animals. Now, I want to tell you, if you get into this show and you think it's really cool and you want a reading for your animal, you can send me some pictures and a little question or two, comment, something you want to know, and I'll have her back. But today, I only knew yesterday, this morning. So I was sending her off pictures this morning, and I had some on file of my own pets. So we're going to be talking about them, and we're going to find out what is going on. Thank you for coming to the show, Diane. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me, Deborah. I'm glad to be here. You have quite a crew. You sent me some pictures. You have a whole zoo at your house, yeah?
Well, I live at Camp Good Dog. It's a boarding and training and breeding kennel, and it's on 5 acres. So it's not as
crowded as you might
think, right? And some of the animals I sent you are not alive anymore. They've passed because I was told that you're able to read them too. So it's not as so much a Noah's Ark as you might think by the amount of pictures.
I got you. Okay, very cool. Well, there were some that really jumped out at me. I'll ask you the name. But like you said, I'm a psychic medium for people and pets, also called an animal communicator. So like you said, I also communicate with animals that have passed over as well as people. But one of the animals that jumped out really strong in your picture was the Rottweiler. What's his name?
His name's Thump.
Thump, yeah. Okay.
Thump. Thump like the noise, T-H-U-M-P, Thump.
Oh, Thump. So sorry. Okay, interesting. He has a noise name. Is he still with us?
No, he's not.
He's passed away. This is interesting. He's the first one that wanted to come through, and now I understand why. He keeps making a lot of noise. He said he was very vocal. Do you understand that?
Yeah. But what was...
Yeah, he said... What's that?
Yeah, well, he was our protection dog. He sort of took care of everybody. He was kind of lazy,
cool.
though. He hung out a lot. I mean, he was
Yeah,
really
he said he
mellow.
Was very vocal. He liked to talk. Yeah. Made a lot of noises, grumbly noises. All night, he said he had his own language that you understood very well.
Yeah,
so he wanted to come through really strong because he said you've been doing a lot of activity in the last couple of days, and that's been steering up. So it was really high vibration. So has a lot been going on in the past, like, I'd say about 3 to 5 days with you?
I've been cleaning up the place, power washing like crazy. I don't know. Does he care about that?
Very interesting. Well, I don't know if he cares that
well,
it's clean.
I know what. He got 3 new baby goats. Is that what he's into? Probably.
Well, he said there's a lot of activity going on. I would say it probably has to do with the new goats and the cleaning. But what happens when you clean a space is the energy you're making, you're raising the vibration. So this would make sense. This would give him kind of a portal to be able to communicate really clearly. He was really precious. Okay. He said his favorite spot to be touched was right behind on the back. And he said it was you always rubbed him right there. You understand that? That was his, like, sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. He was a huge dog. If anybody wants to see, he's got a head the size of a cow, and I've got pictures of him on my website and on Facebook, Camp Good Dog. He's a wonderful dog. If you go to Facebook, Deborah Wolf, Pet Expert, I did a little eulogy there when he died. Wonderful dog. Okay, so he came through, tumpy-tump,
yeah,
trying to protect us.
Beautiful animal,
still.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he wanted
Simple
to guy. Say hi. He wanted you to know that he was still around. Missing his vegetables? There was something green you used to give him, or veggies?
Well, he had cancer. I had to feed him homemade food. Yeah, I bet he's missing it. I'm not missing cooking, though. But,
I understand. Yeah, he kept saying the vegetables. He was fed really well. He loved that. So you treated him really well. And he wants you to know he's doing well. And that he can walk really well up front. I guess the legs up front were starting to give him a little hard time towards the end.
Oh, my gosh. His knees blew out from cancer. Wow. How'd you know that?
Well, he wanted you to know because he knows that you felt really bad about that because he was always so active. So he was telling me, let her know that everything works now and I'm really free and he loves to come around you. Now, this was interesting to me. Because he actually liked the kittens or little kitties or protected them. There was some connection with him and kittens. Do you understand that part?
Yeah, I do, because we have cat chasing now that he's gone, and we never had it before. So that makes sense.
Okay.
He was putting himself in their way. He's a huge dog. He outweighed all my other dogs by double. So, I mean, they weren't going to mess with him. But you know what?
Okay.
People have
a little
think
hard
about,
time
why
you,
are you stupid?
But you were
and
saying
he was
the kitten,
a simple
was a
dog,
connection?
But he was able to open latches as well as a golden retriever or border collie. Like, I mean, this dog was smart for a Rottweiler.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really strong around you, Deborah. I know you guys had a huge connection. And you speak to animals yourself. He definitely told me he understood and that you would listen. So when he had wants, you would respond. He's, you know, and again, with the vocal, even through his voice, you would get to know what his voice is, you know, the meaning was. So he always got what he wanted. He said he played you a couple of times. He was a little bit manipulative. So it's kind of funny. He was like, I used to get what I wanted from her just by, you know, whining a little bit. So you were very generous to this guy, yeah?
I think I'm going to be running out of time here in a second. We'll go to another segment, though, let's go to another pet. And who else is coming through?
Did you have, well, who else did you want to connect with?
Well, in that same
picture,
there's 3 dogs, right? You see the Rottweiler, and behind me is a blue heeler. What's up with the blue heeler? She passed, so.
What's the blue heeler's name?
Squeak.
Sweet, S-W-E-E-T?
No, Squeak, also a noise. Squeak, squeaky monkey, squeak.
Squeak, okay, cool, I love that. Squeak, let's see. He's the one, now, is Squeak still with you
she's
now?
She's a girl. She's a female, and she died in May 2009.
Okay, she passed, sorry. You know, I wrote down he and I had an X through it, and I knew I had a girl. Sorry about that. I was still on the Rottie.
Okay.
She told me she was kind of more quiet and a little wasn't so involved with everything towards the end. But she was good with that. She was a little more passive. Didn't really, you know, demand lots of attention. But the thing she has she was a real cuddler. The thing she kept telling me, she was always cuddling around the feet, always wanting to be kind of, you know, close and touched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
that's
understand
true.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
These are really great dogs, Deborah.
Oh, no, they're lovely. My dogs are lovely. I know. Okay, so in that picture, there's a young view of Vegas. Vegas is my stud dog. He's now a senior. So we're trying to retire him. And you'll see another picture of a guy with a big moppy hairdo. That's his son. And he is supposed to do the job. He has this lovely harem of ladies waiting, and he just isn't interested at all. Can you help me figure out?
Is that the one that's named Noodle?
Noodle or Canoodle, he just seems completely uninterested. And Vegas, the old man, I mean, in the end, we bring him up just to sort of show Noodle what to do or create some kind of interest, and bam, it's done, and the dog's pregnant. We have puppies, and Noodle's a dud of a stud. What can I do to make Noodle
right? Noodle told me he's really not interested, so I'm glad you said that. He was like, you know, it's really not a thing.
I know
Vegas was, Vegas says you always talk to him a lot, so he loves that. He says a lot of activity with you. You're quite a busy lady. So a lot of high energy with you. And, Noodle just, you know, I concur with that. He was saying, you know, he wasn't really that into it. He'd rather just play and have fun. He kind of likes to be left alone. Although he likes to be with the group, he doesn't like to have to do too much work.
So he's not kidding me? Like, how do I mean, this dog, he costs like $1,200. He's got this beautiful pedigree. I need him to do his job. What, is he like on strike forever? He just won't.
I don't think it's going to be forever. I'm going to tell you that in 2 years, you're probably going to have the dog that you want.
Okay, he's just slow to mature.
Yeah, he's taken a while to mature to that. He's really still in his kid stage emotionally.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
personality-wise.
You know what? Daddy's standing by on the side going, that's fine with me. I'll keep working another 2 years.
Yeah, he's going to wait. I'm going to tell you, Deborah, in about 2 years, he's going to surpass Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
Vegas
in that sense.
Vegas visits hospitals, and he marches in parades. I mean, Vegas is a wonderful dog. If Noodle could be half what Vegas is, that would be impressive. So I'm all psyched for that. I do see it in Noodle, though. I mean, he is his son. I do see it. But, gosh, it's like his brain is off and his feet are on, and away he goes. Okay, everybody, we'll be back in a minute with All Paws Pet Talk Radio, talking to Diane, reading some more pets.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Hello, back with All Paws Pet Talk Radio and your host, Deb Wolf. I'm talking to Diane Jan Lorenzo, and we're talking about reading animals, and in particular my animals, because I sent her my pictures. If you send me your pictures and a little write-up to All Paws Pet Talk Radio, we'll be able to get her back on the show and do your animals. But I wanted to apply some of this. So she read my group of dogs. She's declared Sophie the instigator, and I think that's very interesting. Because when we look at the cat claws after an incident, it's golden retriever hair they've got under there. So it has to be Sophie. But so now that I know that, how can I communicate back to her that these are my cats and leave them alone? How do I do that?
Yeah, and just to clarify for your many listeners, Deborah, you had asked me, you know, when you're in the room, the dogs seem to tolerate the cats well. And then when you leave, there seems to be a little hunting cat party. And Sophie tells me she's the one that loves to do that. She's the instigator. It's fun. She tells me it's fun. She likes the cat's reactions. They're like toys. So when I ask her,
the other two are more... girl. This is a lovely golden retriever who thinks like is always with children and fetches sticks out of water. And what is she doing?
Yep. She's exerting her canine in canine ship. So you know, she tells me that the poodles are more following her lead, that she does start it and she thinks it's fun. Some of it is to alleviate her boredom, alrighty, when you're not there. She really likes activity and being around her people and the family. So I'll tell you that anything that will deter her from that, something that keeps her busy, like a Kong with some treats on it, she really likes. Things keep her busy like that, or if you can give her, you know, a safe bone, something that works, that you feel comfortable leaving with her during the day whilst you're not there. That will work with her, okay? I will tell you that this is going to be a little difficult to curb because she thoroughly enjoys it.
You can tell she enjoys it. And it's like, you know, we'll be sitting there, the cats will be all cuddled up with her and she's all peaceful, and I will leave the room for 1 second to go get my phone or go get the laundry or something like that. And it's just like an explosion. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Okay, so what do I think to her? If I want to think to her, besides distracting her and giving her things to do, what do I think to her that sends her the message that, no way, girl, this is not okay? Am I already doing that? She's ignoring
it. You are doing it, and animals, like people, have free will. And so I always tell people, although the communication is two-way, and another way I read is by going around the energy and see what works, is that even though we can tell animals something, just like people, and communicate that information to them via energy, doesn't mean they're going to listen. So the first thing I was feeling is she really enjoys it too much. It's been going on for a while. She does respect you as the leader above her, but when you walk out, she takes over. So I do feel this is going to be, a little difficult to curb. I do know that she really dislikes being isolated. So what
would
work with her is...
You know what? It started when I got her spayed, and she stopped being a mama dog anymore, and I think she just terribly, terribly misses it. But, you know, at every lady's life, there comes a time when it's no longer time to have babies, you know?
Right.
Like it's just time to retire, and she just doesn't... She's not accepting that she doesn't have to have puppies anymore. It's kind of sad.
I think, you know, if you notice that she did it again when you walk out, as soon as you come back in, you're going to want to kind of make it very obvious that it was inappropriate by kind of separating her, bringing her out of the room.
I take her out. Yep, exactly.
Perfect.
The other dogs can
Perfect.
Stay. Are you getting from her this sense of loss of not being a mom anymore, or is she happy to be done with it?
Oh, with the puppies?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something people don't really understand with animals, because it's so accepted in society that their puppies go on or move away. But yeah, they definitely experience loss, which of course you were picking up intuitively and energetically from her. So there's an anxiousness there with her, and again, there's a boredom that sets in because she is so used to being active and busy with the little dogs.
Yeah, she's used to being a mom, and now she has no litters. Yeah, I guess that is a big void.
She did want to know, is she going to have another litter because she loves the puppies?
Oh, no, she can't. She's too old. I had her spayed. You know
no
what?
She kidding.
Can take care of litters. There's going to be lots of litters. They're just not going to be hers. That
don't
is
be surprised
doing.
If she tries
it.
To. Yeah, don't be surprised if she tries to mother them a little bit because she loves to be around the youngins.
She does that. She'll get her way into the barn and she'll even have milk for puppies that aren't hers. She's a lovely dog.
There you go.
You know, I read in I think it was Time magazine, they had this headline, if having friends somehow leads to having more babies, and I read that and I went, what do you mean? Having friends leads to having more babies? I got to go through my friend list and cut some people out. I don't want any more babies. But apparently animals who have more friends show more friendly bonds with each other, groom each other, that kind of thing, are more successful at reproduction, and their babies live longer. And that's true with all kinds of animals. So I think that's really interesting. I dug up some research. I was going to talk about animal friendships today and different cross-species things and things about the different how friendships vary between horses and dolphins and chimpanzees. But then you and I got talking, and it's so cool. So I want to ask you, what can people do at home? You know, maybe they're looking at their dog or their cat, and they're thinking, you're just not happy. How can they ask it? what's wrong? Or
yeah,
I mean, you were talking about me and Thump being connected and me, him working it a little bit, but me knowing what he wanted. Well, the Squeak, the one before him, the Blue Healer, it was even more so. But yeah, I send pictures, little thought pictures to my animals. Of, like, I'll picture them jumping up on the couch if that's what I want, or picture them getting in the car if that's what I want. And it seems to work. I'll picture a dog relaxing if it's nervous, and I'll picture myself being nice to it if it's nervous, and then it'll seem to relax. What else can people do?
Well, there's feelings. I mean, obviously, if you're seeing pictures, it means you're clairvoyant, so seeing things work for you. All animals are different like people. They'll have different skills, just like, you know, some people are great at writing or singing. We have different skills on the energy level. So they might, you know, smell really well or see really well or hear. I feel, called clairsentient or empathic. So a lot of times, one of the strongest things is feeling. If you're emotional, you know, your animals pick it up, and vice versa. So a lot of times just being quiet and sensing what they want or need, and also sending the emotion. Just like anything, the strongest thing is the thing that raises the vibration the most is feelings. So if you want something,
you know. So do you put your hands on them? Do you put your hands on your dog?
No, you don't have to put their hands. I do it over the phone all the time. Most of my business is done by the phone, and I with all of the countries and in the U.S. So, nope, there's no need to, put your hands on them. But when you're first starting, it could help to make that connection stronger. You could use a picture. Like you said, sending, you know, visual thoughts to them. That's great if the animal is someone who's more visual. Okay, sometimes it's more emotional. But most people that work with animals are receiving information on another level that a lot of times they're not so aware of. But I tell most people, especially horse people, that, you know, they're very they're animal communicators in their own right. And I teach a lot of classes that help people to bring that out in them so that they're conscious of it. So not just doing it, but that they're discerning that they're doing it, which is the most important thing.
You know what? The last time I went riding, the instructor, I went with my kids and we went on lesson, and I was just sort of riding around the outside of the ring. And she said to me, you know, every time you come here, I see the same thing, no matter what horse you ride. They tilt their ears back like they're waiting for you to say something.
There you go.
What's going on there? Is that because I'm sending images and this is an animal that doesn't work that way?
Well, that's a real classic, move in the physical, that they're listening. So when they're hearing you on some level, they're doing that, normally, just like I would get still when I start to pick up a psychic vision. I would just stop and listen, just like I would if somebody were talking to me. You just stop and listen. That's what they're doing, putting their ears back. One of the first horses I ever read, the ears were back. And my sister, who's an avid horsewoman and owns a horse ranch out in Maui, she looked at the picture and she said, oh, that's amazing, when the ears are back, you can tell that he's listening to you.
Oh,
said,
everybody,
oh,
we've got to go.
Talking.
We've been talking to Diane, Jen, Lorenzo, and hopefully you'll send me some pictures and some questions to All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we'll have her back to read your pets. Thank you very much, Diane. It's been great.
Sure. Thank you.